Morning, y'all, and welcome to this Tuesday edition of the Gospel Way Radio broadcast. We're glad that you have chosen to tune us in this morning, and we trust that you'll stay tuned for the next 15 minutes as we bring you a portion of the infallible, inerrant, and perfect Word of God. We're so glad for each and every one that listens so faithfully each day right here on this radio station. And we trust that the Word of God surely is a blessing to help to you. My name is Bradley Boone. I'm the pastor of the Concord Baptist Church. We're located 4.5 miles outside of Burnsville, North Carolina. And we'd love to have you near all the services there. Sunday morning starts at 10 o'clock, preaching at 11. Sunday night services at 6. Wednesday night Bible study, prayer meeting, and preaching service is at 7 o'clock. We'd love to have you. Any or all the services there. We want to make an announcement. We're having what we call Super Tuesdays in the month of April. In the place of our regular Wednesday night services on Tuesday evenings, we'll be having special preaching beginning next Tuesday. And we're going to have Brother Greg Withrow, the pastor of Temple Baptist Church there in Marion, be with us next week. And then we're going to have Brother Timothy Rupert. We'll have Brother David Edwards. We'll also one night have Brother Scott Poole. And so we're excited about having these good men of God in to share the Word of God with us there at the Concord Baptist Church. And we're doing that on Tuesday nights. And so most of you listening probably don't have church on Tuesday night. And we'd love for you to come be a part of that. The service time will start at 7 o'clock. And we're looking for God to do something. We're excited about what God's doing around the church. I couldn't give him enough honor and glory and praise for everything that he is accomplishing. It's all about him. Nothing good in us. Just that we're saved by the marvelous grace of God. God's called us to preach, and we are enjoying the benefits of that. We're looking this week at the infallible proofs of the resurrection. And we want to get back into that thought this morning, but before we do that, we want to approach the throne of grace in prayer. I know many of you, no doubt, are facing hardships and problems, things going on in your life. And I want to join you in prayer about those things, asking God to help you. And I know a God who can. Whatever it is you're facing today, I know a God who is able. I know a God who is delightful, a God who is wonderful, a God who is mighty. And he's able to help you with what you're facing today, and I trust the Lord will do that. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this opportunity. Lord, thank you for this open door of the radio where we can come into vehicles and into homes, Lord, and share the Word of God. We pray that your Holy Spirit would touch hearts and lives today. God, that you would make a difference in the lives of everyone that listen. We'll thank you and praise you for all you do in Jesus' name. We ask these things. Through his blood we pray. Amen and amen. All right, we want to get back into the Word of God this morning. We're reading in two places. First in Matthew 28, as we are the week after Easter here, I think it's a good time for us to be reminded of the glorious truths of a resurrected Savior. Hallelujah! I'm glad that he's not still on the cross and he's not in the tomb, but thank God he is risen. The Bible said, Matthew chapter number 28 and verse 6, he is not here, for he has risen as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. And then we're also looking at a verse in the book of Acts, Acts chapter number 1 and verse number 2. The Bible says there, until the day in which he was taken up, after through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And so we've been looking this week, started on yesterday's radio broadcast, talking to you a little bit about the infallible proofs of a resurrected Savior. Those of you that listened on yesterday's radio broadcast will be reminded that we looked at some of the excuses that the world immediately came up with to try to explain why the tomb of Jesus was empty, even though Pilate had instructed to make it as sure as you could. And they had set a stone about it and a seal over it. My friend, on the third and appointed morning, they found the tomb empty. And it's still empty today. Hallelujah. And so there was those excuses that came up. Excuses that the disciples had stolen the body of Christ and that the guards were asleep in Matthew 28. We poked holes in that excuse. A second rumor that Christ had simply swooned upon the cross, that he had passed out but had not died and somehow had been jolted back to life by the coldness of the tomb. We put that rumor to rest and showed the fallacy and the lies associated with those two rumors. This morning, I want to start in on the proofs, the actual proofs, not just proofs, but the infallible, irrefutable proofs of a resurrected Savior. And so we'll deal with those for the next few days this week as the Lord will be our helper. Can I say, first of all, that we have an infallible proof in that there was the appearances of Christ to many. And the appearances of Christ offer infallible proofs that the Lord Jesus Christ is alive. We see that he appeared to Mary Magdalene in Mark chapter number 16, an eyewitness account of positive proof of our Lord's resurrection. He appeared to other women in Matthew 28. He appeared to two disciples in a field in Mark 16. He appeared to Peter alone in Luke 24. He appeared to the apostles with Thomas absent also in Luke 24. And then he appeared to the apostles with Thomas there in John chapter number 20. He appeared to the seven disciples at the Sea of Galilee in John 21. And he appeared to 500 brethren at once according to Matthew 28. He appeared to James, the Lord's brother, in John 7, and then to all those present at the ascension of Christ in Mark chapter number 16. Can I say that these eyewitness accounts of a resurrected Savior say a few things to us about the Lord Jesus Christ? The first thing that I would point out is that it says to us that this was not a vision or a hallucination. If one person had reported seeing Jesus alive, then one might say that that person simply had fell subject to some sort of a vision or some sort of hallucination. Or you might consider the fact that like the Jehovah's Witnesses say, that Jesus only appeared spiritually to those after his death, not in a bodily form. But the fact that we have so many different people, the eyewitness accounts of so many different people, tell us that this was no vision, it was no hallucination, but that Jesus himself appeared to them in a resurrected body. Now this doctrine is important, for without the belief in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, a man cannot be saved. My friend, the Jehovah's Witnesses this morning do not believe in the bodily resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's why no practicing Jehovah's Witness can possibly be saved. Because you must believe in a resurrected Savior. It is a requirement of salvation that you believe that God hath raised him from the dead, according to Romans chapter number 10. And so these that saw him tell us that this was no vision or hallucination that they had seen, but was rather a physical being, Christ bodily resurrected. These also tell us that it's important to note that for every person here that we see, and all those that we named, that said they positively saw Christ resurrected in the flesh, now, not one account, and you know that there had to be people of that time, the religious leadership, the leaders of the Jews, the Sanhedrin, the Pharisee, the Sadducee, there had to be people of that time that would attempt to get those who had professed to see Christ alive after the resurrection to recant those statements and say that indeed they had lied. And yet nowhere in recorded history, the Bible aside, do we find a place where any of these people who professed to see Christ alive ever once recanted that statement. My friend, I believe that is an important factor and certainly is an infallible proof in the Lord Jesus Christ's bodily resurrection. I'm glad this morning that we serve a risen Savior, aren't you? Aren't you glad that the Lord lives? is seated on the right hand of God and never maketh intercession for our prayers. Oh, we see there are many infallible proofs. And so the appearance of Christ is an infallible proof. It's an infallible proof of His bodily resurrection. But then can I say this? The testimony of the disciples offer infallible proofs of the Lord's resurrection. Now, the evidence that the disciples would present that Christ had been resurrected in the body is what we would call or term empirical evidence. That was that their evidence came from experience instead of simply a theory or an idea. One important fact that I would point out is that the disciples refused to receive any second-hand evidence when it came to the resurrection of Christ. In Mark chapter number 16 and at verse number 11, the Bible said, "And they, when they had heard that He was alive and had not seen of her," look here now, "believed not." So the disciples, we are told in Mark chapter number 16, refused to believe in the resurrected, in a resurrected Savior simply on a second-hand account of someone else. Many times we point out Thomas and the fact that Thomas said that he would not believe until he had thrust his hand in his side. And we call him Doubting Thomas. But what we learn here from Mark chapter number 16 is that all of the disciples were doubters, and probably rightfully so. As a matter of fact, you and I should be thankful that they did doubt the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and proved it only by physical evidence. They would accept no one else's word for the fact. We see that in Mark 16. But what we see is that they ended up with eyewitness testimony because they both saw, heard, and touched Him with their own hands. Now, this wasn't someone who had fooled the disciples or caused the disciples to think He was Christ. These were men who that for the last 3 years had walked with Christ. They knew Him. They knew all about Him. They'd seen Him every day. And so there was no mistaking Christ when they saw Him in His bodily resurrection. And their testimony is both empirical and eyewitness. And the fact that they held the high standard of not being willing to accept a resurrected Savior without having seen Him themselves is great evidence of the infallible proof of a resurrected Savior. Hallelujah for that. Aren't you glad this morning that we do serve a risen Savior? Many, many infallible proofs. And so we see that the excuses that the world came up with were no good. And we see that the appearances of Christ tell us that it was not a vision, a hallucination. And the testimonies of the disciples offer infallible proofs as to the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Just this last week, we celebrated Easter. What a wonderful thing. We can have Christmas. Christmas is great, and I appreciate Christmas and the wonderful story of Bethlehem's manger and how that our Savior was born there, how that it was announced to the shepherds, just common folks like you and I. I appreciate the story of the crucifixion and how that He bled and died for the remission of sins. But my friend, without a resurrected Savior, it would all been for naught. The sinless sacrifice would have been no good had there not been a resurrection. Because as we'll see later on in this week, it was after the resurrection of Christ that He entered into the most holy place in heaven and applied His blood to the mercy seat for the forgiveness of our sins. We trust that you'll tune in each day this week as we delve into this subject of the infallible proofs of the resurrection. And we trust that it'll be a special blessing to you. But for now, this is Bradley Boone, the pastor of the Concord Baptist Church, saying may God richly bless you is our prayer.